Amen. We thank you for these words, and thank you guys for your obedience. John chapter 10, we'll turn there real quick. I'll give you the page, there's 105 in the Rotherham. And really what the teaching should be is not, the word Superman shouldn't be in there, but Superman helps articulate or paints a picture for us. We know exactly what that means. But we were, and we'll be using the word Elohim, not God, because Elohim is not synonymous with God. Can a man be a God? Not necessarily, not with our own English. But in the scriptures, you're going to find out that men and judges are called gods too. The adversary, Satan, he is called a god. And the confusion is there because the word God is a wrong translation. It's not the same word. The word Elohim can be a judge. It can be, I believe it can be a king. It can be a man, which would be a king. And then Yahweh calls himself an Elohim. And so what is this word? It's Elohim. It's not God. And so that's where the confusion gets. Because if my father is a monkey, what does it make me?
Monkey.
A monkey. If I say my father's a giraffe, it makes me...
giraffe.
When Jesus Christ says my father is a God or an Elohim, what does he call himself? They're going to stone you. Because right here in John 10, they're going to say, you are making yourself a Elohim. And he's going to say, what is his response? I am God. No. He quotes the scriptures.
What? Where were we?
10:34. They said, you are making yourself, and the word A should be there. There is no A in Greek or Hebrew. So when they say, you being a man, they inserted the word A, the translators. They should have said, being a man or making thyself a God. You can't make yourself the creator by saying something. But by you just saying anything, you're saying you're the father, you're the son of a creator. That, well, then, yes, you could do that. Otherwise, it'd be ridiculous. Verse 34, somebody read that.
Yahushua answered them, is it not written in your law, I said ye are Elohims? If those he called Elohims, unto whom the word of Yahweh came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, of him whom the Father hallowed and sent forth into the world, are you saying, thou speakest profanely, because I said, son of Elohim I am.
So right here, Jesus Christ didn't say, I'm the creator. He didn't say, I'm Yahweh. I'm the son of God. I'm the son of Yahweh. And is Jesus a Lord? Yes, he's a Lord. Who's his father? His father is an Elohim. So he's a Lord and he is an Elohim. And which explains when Thomas says, my Lord and my Elohim. That makes sense. You're not Yahweh, the creator. You're the son. He's the son. John 3:16. I had another guy talking about trying to make Jesus Christ the creator again. God gave himself and died. And I thought, what does John 3:16 say? He goes, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Yeah, I thought he gave his own son. And Romans 8 said he spared not his own son. He didn't say he died on the cross. He said his son does. What's being taught today? What's the scripture say? The son died. And the father watched his son die for us. What's more hard?
Yeah.
You to die for somebody or to watch your perfect son to die on a cross? You're like, thank you, Father. Thank you, Yahweh. But now we're turning to Psalms 82. This is where he's quoting. Psalms 82. See, it's about 572, 82, 1 through 6. Because this is very foreign to English-speaking people. A man cannot be a god, is not God. Because of our translations, it should be Elohim. And Jesus Christ says, is it not written, you are gods? You're going to and he quoted scriptures. Okay? And that's a good thing when people say Jesus is the creator. Jesus has a God. That's Ephesians 1:3. If Jesus has a God and he is God, that's two gods. It's polytheism. Okay? But anyway, Psalms 82, 1 through 6, please. Somebody read this.
Yahweh hath taken his place in the august assembly. In the midst of the Elohim will he judge. How long will ye judge?
In the midst of the, what is he going to judge? The midst of the gods. The Elohims. What's that mean? So, okay. In the midst of the Elohims, they skip on down to verse 6. You can read the whole thing. For the sake of time, we're going to kind of skip stuff up. But in verse 6, I said, Elohims, you are. Yea, sons of the highest are you. Adam was a son of God, the image of God, or image of Elohim. And so, what Yehoshua was doing was coming to reclaim the identity of the original intent. You ever seen somebody use something wrong? Do people misuse stuff? Absolutely. And people are misusing their purpose in life. The purpose in our life was to be the image of our Father and to do His will. And what I'd like to do is, in the scriptures, the story of these books is all of our lives is an audition, and you choose to either live like a son of Elohim or like a beast or an animal. And they're both created on the sixth day. So Dad did that teaching. I was perfect each day. Who are you going to feed? Galatians 5 says the lust of the flesh. You want to know who your old man is? Here's a good one. You want to know how much old man's in you? What pet peeves do you have? Everybody got something that irritates them. Maybe they pass gas when you're eating. Maybe they talk with their mouth full. That's my one. What are these things? For some reason, our old man, our flesh inside us comes up with things. They just broke that rule. What rule? Well, that rule that I have. You can't do that. Who says this? And so but that's a manifestation of your flesh. And then you have the new man inside you that's not impulsive. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, kindness, meekness, temperance, self-control. Self-control, not impulses, not pet peeves. Each one of us can choose to be an Elohim each day or be like most Christians are animals. They pray. You see them walking on water, including myself. To what level are they looking like an Elohim? I would say most Christians, there's no power. The other ones, they prophesy, great. They speak in tongues, excellent. That's really separating yourself. But if we choose to live like an Elohim, what is available? And I think it's in 2 Corinthians, talk about comparing yourself with yourself. No, we're really good. I'm really good with where I am. Comparing yourself with yourself. Let's compare you and me with the scriptures. Because the Elohim stops the storm. It says, hush, be still. And the storms listen. And they bowed down to Jesus Christ. And they went. And Elohim awakens the dead. Lazarus, come forth. And Elohim walks on water. Two people walked on water. One of them chose, if you say I can do it, I can do it. Yahweh's telling you and me that we can do things. Just like Jesus Christ says, give me the word. Say I can come. And Yahweh says, greater works you shall do because I said to my Father, I told you to walk on water. Ooh. Okay. And Elohim can stop the sun and the moon like Joshua did. Who could do that? Who could speak to the sun and the moon? How does that work, the gravitational pull? I don't know. It's above my pay grade. Elohim can kill Goliath. And Elohim can feed 5,000 people with a couple fish. Those are our reference points. That's what you are called to do, what I am called to do, you are called to do. We get one life. And how much are we becoming like that? And Jesus Christ was a perfect example. We are to become like Him each day. You get a shot. Are you looking like an Elohim today? Are people marveling at you that you did something? They go, who can do this? And I think in this room, the people are more like more Elohim than anybody else on the planet. I know that because of obedience. And you do what the scriptures say. So why doesn't everybody walk on water, cast out demons? Why doesn't everybody stop storms, right? Everybody like the power of Batman, or not Batman, didn't have any power. He's a jerk anyways. He's a bad guy. But why doesn't everybody act like a Superman? Did Jesus Christ fly in the air? Yeah, he went up on a cloud. Okay, that's kind of cool. Why did everybody do that? Because there's requirements.
Yeah.
The requirements to live like an Elohim. Whoa, wait. What is this? Like the one guy says, everybody wants Jesus Christ to be a fire escape from a torture chamber called hell, but who wants to serve for the rest of your life? Wait a minute. You mean there's not going to be any sex there? There's no orgies? No heroin? I'm not going there. A lot of people want to do it. So a lot of people, with this life, we get a chance. We can be the Elohim and do these things, but what are the requirements? And the requirements, number one, this is the biggest one that weeds out almost all Christians. You have to obey the scriptures, not the traditions of men. The traditions of men do not enable you to walk on water. Because Jesus Christ broke all the traditions. In Matthew 15, how dare you? Don't you know your disciples are transgressing the traditions of our elders so they eat bread with unwashed hands? Yeah, I know exactly what they're doing. And Jesus Christ and Yehoshua and Yahweh picked fights all the time. Yahweh could have healed people on any day. Why did he pick the Sabbath? Here he is. It's my territory. I'm the owner of the vineyard, guys. Number one, obey the scriptures, not the traditions of men. You have to read the whole book. Rightly divide it. Don't come to conclusions. Don't believe on one guy, the guy that would say that Jesus Christ died. And I went, you know, where I grew up, this guy was coming out of the prison. I said, I used to believe what people said about somebody until I got older. I learned if I really want to know something about somebody, I need to go talk to him face to face. And he went off on this whole thing. I tell all the guys in my prison ministry this and that. I go, should we do the same thing with the scriptures? Is everything that you know about Yahweh from what he wrote or from what people told you? Have you verified it? Have you debunked it? And if you haven't, let's get started. And if Christ was 100, the Apostle Paul was 30, right now I'm about 7.5. But I'm getting better. I'm getting better. Number two, constant checking in. It's not just about obedience. King David would check in and check in and check in. Why are we checking in? Because the purpose of your and my existence is fellowship with the Creator. He created all this so that we would orbit Him. Are you checking in with Him? He's not going to give you more power if you're ignoring Him. And David would say, shall I go up? Shall I go up? What an example of a type of Christ, the man of iron and the man of silk. You want me to cut off a Goliath's head? I'll do it. You want me to write a psalm? I'll do it. And here he is. Number three, another reason why people choose not to be an Elohim, the requirement that people are going to hate you. Not like you. They're going to hate your guts. I like that there's a movie called The Incredibles, where all the superheroes are being sued by the liberals. All these laws. We got to stop these guys because you're going to be hated. Jesus Christ, if they hate me, how much more are they going to hate you? It's okay to be hated by a biker, but will you be hated by Christians?
Yep.
That's where it gets tough. A lot of people, I want to blend in. I just want to blend in. What do I got to do to blend in? The traditions of men. That's how you blend in. But in the book of Revelation, what's going to happen to the lukewarm water in that illustration? How does Yahweh think about lukewarm? His son's going to spew it out. Now, that's not about us, but that's how he feels about people blending in. And all of us, and if there's anybody in this room that has a desire to blend in, I'm probably the worst at it because I really like people. It's a big weakness. Don't blend in. Yeah. Number four is a big one. 1 Corinthians 1:27, easy one to remember because Colossians 1:27 is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 1:27 is Yahweh chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. So what does that mean? You can look like a fool. What do you look like a fool? In front of Christians? Right then and there, probably 90% of Christians are like, I knew we couldn't have done it anyways. This guy's crazy. And what they're doing is it's not even available, but we're going to be graded. And what I wanted to do is, I love storytelling. And there is, in 1 Samuel, I don't know if we have to necessarily go there. Yahweh's looking for a king because Israel has rejected Yahweh as king. And he told Samuel, I'm sending somebody to you. His name is Saul. He's the son of Kish. And he's coming and he's looking for his dad's donkeys. And here's his, I don't know if we'd go there or not, but we won't. Well, no, let's go there. I didn't write it down, but I think it'd be good if we did. It's going to be 1 Samuel, probably around 8. There it is, it's chapter 9, 1 Samuel 9. And the illustration is, really what I want to do with this teaching, is that Saul, with my story, is going to get a glimpse by Samuel, that Saul, you're going to get a chance to live like an Elohim or a man, because you're going to be anointed. Okay? And so, it was neat in verse 15, chapter 9, verse 15. Now Yahweh had unveiled the ear of Shamuel one day before Saul, saying, about this time tomorrow, I'll send unto thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, whom thou shalt anoint to be leader over my people, and he shall save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon the oppression, because their outcry hath come in unto me. And when Samuel beheld Shaul, Yahweh answered him, lo, that's the man. That's what I was talking about. Of whom I had said to thee, here is one shall control my people. He needed a shepherd. And if we go down, skip on verse 21, then answered Saul, and Saul responds after he meets him, hey man, I'm the least of the least. Am I not a man of Benjamin, the smallest of the tribes? My family, the poorest of the families, the tribe of Benjamin. Wherefore hast thou spoken to me such things as this? And Samuel explained everything.
Nope.
He did not. He ignored it. And do this really reminds me of with Yahweh, with Moses. And there's nothing wrong with Saul. He's going, hey, this stuff doesn't add up. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what did Yahweh do? Yahweh knew all that stuff. Yahweh chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. So you're the poorest. Perfect. What else is it? The smallest of the tribes. Even better. Like Gideon. You got no chance of survivor. Good. You're my guy. You're perfect. No qualifications. Are you available? That's all we need. You're hired. And so anyway, Samuel took Saul and his young man and brought them into the guest chamber and gave them a place at the head of who were bidden. Anyways, he starts getting treated like a king. Well, everybody would like to be king. Mel Brooks, it's good to be king. It's good to be the gov. It's good to be it. That's what most men would want, and that's why most men cannot be kings, because they want to orbit themselves. But the fulcrum of this teaching is really if we go down to verse 25. After they eat and all these different things happen, verse 25, and when they had come down from the high place into the city, he spread out a couch for Shaul upon the housetop and he lay down. Do you see footnote B above Shaul? What's that say? Somebody read that loud.
So it should be?
Nope, B.
Well, that's what it says, but spake with Saul.
Spake with Saul. Here is Saul and Shamuel on the roof. What are they doing? I was reading a paragraph Bible and they're speculating, but they said that night that Saul would have heard what is required to be a king, sitting on a rooftop. Here he is looking at the star. Like, Abraham, Abraham, behold the stars. He's looking up at the stars and here this prophet is telling him. What I would like to think is, you are called to be an Elohim. An Elohim, you don't need numbers. You don't need pedigree. Here this is, and what's neat is, about the same time as Shamuel, there's another prophet, according to Alfred Edersheim. There's another prophet. You know who that is? He's a judge. He liked women. Samson.
Yeah.
It's about the same periods. They're overlapping. What does Samuel look like?
He was very handsome. He was very tall.
Samuel. He was a Nazarite. What does that mean about his hair?
Long.
He's got some dreadlocks. You don't cut it. What does he look like? Man, okay, here he is. He never took anybody's donkey. Probably very average clothes. There's a guy, I think his name's Sean White or something. I forgot what his name is. He's got these long dreads and he looks ridiculous. I look at him like, what do you think, you're a Rastafarian? And then Yahweh reproved me. Maybe he's a Nazarite. Yeah, so his hair, if he's 60 years old, how long is this man's hair? He's looking at his prophet. I know who that guy is. Look at these dreads. Who's got dreads like that? Here he is on the rooftop with this guy in dreads. Going to talk to him about being a prophet. Or being, it's going to say, Saul among the prophets, he has a good start. And Saul is going to get a chance to live like an Elohim. And what I like to explain, they're having a story going, how can I do these things? And Samuel would say, well, this hasn't happened yet. But what happens when Samuel goes to Bethlehem? What do the people of Bethlehem say when he goes to anoint Jesse? Peace! Is it peace? Everybody, is it peace? Is it peace? Is that what you do when a Rastafarian or a Nazarite just walks in? That's what you do when Samson or Samuel walks in. Why? Because they are Elohims. They're sons, and choosing to live as Elohims. And what comes when you live as an Elohim? Great power. And here he is. So here he is listening to this. And you can imagine the story's going, how can this power have ever been lost? Because we see Jesus Christ walking on water, stopping storms, and then we learn he's the second Adam. And how did Adam and Eve, how are they going to control everything at the very beginning? It doesn't say. But what we know is what's available by what was reclaimed by the second Adam. And I believe that Adam and Eve could have walked on water. They could have stopped storms. They were the images of Elohim. Could Yahweh stop storms? Could Yahweh wake things up? Could he curse fig trees? Move things like a wizard or something? We think of wizards, we understand. Superman, of course they can. And Yahweh goes, you were designed to be a Superman. But you have been given freedom of will to do so. And he's talking to Shaul, and Shaul's sitting there going, sounds exciting, my heart rate's going up, my peace is really good, but wait a minute, what happened? What happened? And he goes, there's requirements to be living as an Elohim. What happened to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, the adversary told Eve, this is how you exalt yourself. Then, once you rebel, you'll be as Elohims. Luke 14:11. Does anybody know what that scripture says? He that exalts himself shall be humbled, and he humbles himself shall be exalted. You can imagine Samuel with his dreadlocks talking to Saul. You'll be anointed tomorrow, but if you blow it, you're going to lose it, just like Adam and Eve did. Okay? Now, we don't know about any other sin with Adam and Eve, but the power was lost until the prophets came along, right? And so you can imagine learning that and going to go, okay, 1 Peter 5:5. Anybody quote that one?
Yahweh against the high he arrayeth himself, whereas lowly he giveth favor. He made lowly, therefore, in the strong hand of Yahweh, that he may lift thee up in due time.
Make yourself lowly. You want to live as an Elohim? Why don't most people? You have to make yourself low to serve. You don't exalt yourself. Adam and Eve, actually, Eve was deceived. I believe the temptation is to exalt yourself. What's going to happen in your mind, in my life? You exalt yourself, you're going to lose something. Hopefully not all of it. And so you can see you're going to go, Sam, so you, there would have been the warning. Who cared about Saul more than anybody that we know in scriptures? Who pined for Saul? Samuel. Do you think if Samuel had the time to explain great, with great power comes great
responsibility.
Come on, Spider-Man. Responsibility. But you can do it. Is it worth it? Yes. That fellowship and the communion with the Creator. Because you can see, Saul, when I anoint you, this life is this long. The seed of the woman's coming. We'll get rewarded for it. Because he's looking at Samuel going, I don't know if it's worth it, man. How old are those clothes? Man, you can't cut your hair. This is your life. You're just on the circuit. He goes, I work for the Creator, doing what I was born to do. And what better, more fulfillment can anybody get than to do what they're born to do? If you are doing what you are called to do, there's no satisfaction like it. Everything else got holes in it. It's temporary. And it goes away. People commit suicide like Elvis Presley and Marilyn Monroe because you can never do it because they missed their calling. 1 Peter 1:15-16. Another reason, a warning to Saul could have been was in 1 Peter 1:15-16, obviously Saul, 1 Peter wasn't around then, but we can use this to say it's the same thing because it's the same Elohim Yahweh. For it is written, Yahweh is holy, so shall you be holy. Separate yourself from these things. Continue cleaning yourself. And here would have been possibly the pep talk going, this is what you're called to do. Well, what about my mom and my dad and all the rest of these things? Matthew 6 says, if you take care of Yahweh's will, he'll take care of all the rest of these things. And that's how Jesus Christ took care of his mom and his brothers that were there on the day of Pentecost. He walked away from them and followed Yahweh. And that's how it'll work the same thing for you. Luke 14:11, we read that. 1 Peter 5:5, read that. And then in verse 6, which is neat about this, because you can imagine with my storytelling and what could happen on the rooftop, somebody read verse 6 of chapter 10.
1 Samuel?
Yeah.
Chapter 10, verse 6?
Yeah.
Then will come suddenly upon thee the Ruach of Yahweh, and thou shalt be moved to prophesy with him, and shall be changed into another man.
So here this whole thing, he didn't ask for it. He was humble, because he didn't go, well, it's about time Yahweh recognized, I'm the tallest guy around here, right? That's not what Sam, there's Saul said. And then it's going to happen. And he goes, and then you're going to hear about the rest of the prophecies. And you're going to see a guy with a bow tie. He's going to be smoking a cigarette. You're going to see, but the details of the prophecy is incredible with this Elohim, or image of Elohim. Samuel tells him. And what happens is he starts off, and you just read the beginning of him living as an Elohim. And wow, it's incredible. And you can imagine them teaching that when Adam and Eve exalted themselves, and they own the whole earth, everything. Imagine them as Elohims. How would gods walk around their own earth like Jesus Christ did? And how did they use all that? They exalted themselves. They fell. The warning, and that'd be for all of us too. And I can imagine Samuel saying, you know, we could do what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, Yahweh gave you all this stuff. And Daniel says, repent. Do these things. So you don't have to go through these hard lessons. Nebuchadnezzar said, a year later, have I not built this Babylon? Isn't this not what Nebuchadnezzar, and here comes the voice, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, cast him down. Did I not build this house? What is your empire? What all your stuff is? And Yahweh's going, out. Out. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, we can get back in. If we humble ourselves, we miss it. What is Yahweh looking for? Is he looking for humility, humility, humility? What are the requirements? You've got to be humble. And one reason why most people aren't doing the power and doing these things is because you're not humble. Genesis chapter 17, and I'd like to really hold on to it. You want to live like an Elohim? 1 Corinthians chapter 1:27. Yahweh chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. Now, in Genesis chapter 17, we're going to look at this. Yahweh, let's just imagine, you can turn there while I'm talking, page 46. Yahweh conscribing people through Samuel for Saul. Yahweh did the same thing for Gideon. He did it for David. All of his Samson. Here are these things. Yahweh called, you're my man. You're my hands and feet on this earth. Go kill the Philistines. I got a boss. You hear these things. But in Genesis chapter 17, Yahweh's talking to this guy, a patriarch. I've called you to live as an Elohim. You can imagine Abraham. Who did he have before him? I got Noah. I heard about Noah building that big box. That's pretty cool. What do you want me to do? First thing, leave your walled city. How am I going to be protected for the purpose of this teaching? Because you're going to live like an Elohim. You're going to live above the rules of this world. Come with me, Abraham. Come. You can imagine the peace and Yahweh firing him up, going, yes, let's go, Sarah. Wait, we're going to go live like Elohims in a tent. In the wilderness! What about people killing us? They don't attack Elohims. We'll smash them. You know, I'm elaborating on it. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it could be the truth. And here's Yahweh pulling them out. He's pulling you and me out, going, "Is today's your day? When are you going to choose or fully step into that boat or out of that boat if you're Peter?" And here he is in chapter 17. He goes, "Abraham, you're ready for the next step." Yes, yes, Yahweh. I can imagine any time Yahweh, Abraham was talking to Yahweh, he was down on his hands and his feet. I try to get revelation from Yahweh, and in my mind going, is this how I imagine myself listening to him on my phone? Yeah, go ahead, gotcha. Or would I be down on my hands and my feet if I was before Yahweh's throne? Who am I kidding myself? You're not going to get revelation being cocky. You're going to lose it. It's like I imagine Abraham going, on his knees, gone. We left. We're living like Elohims. It doesn't make sense, but it makes faith. Whew, Yahweh loves faith. And here he is, and Yahweh goes, you ready for the next step? Yes, yes. The next step to live like an Elohim. Yes, I'm ready, I'm ready. What is it? I want you to cut a part of your penis off. I think I missed something. Anyways, let's go back. I'll do... What do you want? I want you to cut a part of your penis off. And then you're ready. Can I get a tattoo? Come on, I signed a contract. How about that? How about I put a banner wherever I go? I'm in! No, cut part of your penis off. What does that got to do with anything? Can you imagine Abraham trying to explain this to people? That's ridiculous. And when I put it that way, it sounds ridiculous, because we've always heard about circumcision. But here's Yahweh, I choose the foolish things. And here's Abraham going, yeah. Abraham's like, so what? I'm 100 years old. 90 years old. I think he was 90 at the time. But, and what happened? And if Abraham would not have circumcised himself, what would have happened? It says, you'll be cut off. And so the whole thing is, okay, so Yahweh's choosing foolish things to confound the wise. Can you imagine all the people following Abraham going, what do we got to do? I'm a 50-year-old man. Honey, I got to talk to you. I got to go have this minor surgery. I mean, it's outpatient. Hey, the boy's got to come with me too. Whoa, 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 what are you going to do? What did Moses' wife tell him? She was not on board with the circumcision, if you read it. Because she threw the foreskin down at his feet and said, surely you're a man of blood. Yeah, it's blood sacrifice. It's a cutting off. But here's the whole thing, so you can imagine. What is he asking you to do? If he's not asking to cut part of your genitalia off, then that's easy stuff, isn't it? That's circumcision, but that looks foolish. Hebrews 12. Turn to Hebrews 12. And so that was Genesis chapter 17, 9 through 14. And that's speaking in tongues. What happened when they spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost? They were mocked, laughed at. These guys are drunk. And for lack of a better word, I like to think it's kind of like initiations. You want to end this club? It's an elite club. Oh yeah, what is it? It's Yahweh's club. You're in or out. Here's this stuff. Well, Saul was circumcised. Yahweh has the rules here, Saul. Humble, here's all the rest of these things. And we learned from David that David said, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, Yahweh. He was crushed. I think it's Psalms 51. He was crushed and he turned. And Yahweh went, you get to see the heart of the Father going, I want my kids to be here. But in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, looking to our Superman. Therefore, indeed, seeing that we also have encircling us so great a cloud of witness, stripping off every encumbrance. How about every one of our own dreams of satisfaction? When I got called into the ministry when I was about 19 years old, all I needed was a family, because then I won't need friends. I'll have 7 kids. Then I won't need friends, because I'll have my kids. And Yahweh told me I was going to get married, and it crushed me. But I remember, and I told Mom, she's like, what's wrong? Why are you crying? Yahweh told me I can't get married. And she's like, that's not true! But it didn't matter what she said. He called me. He's like, it's not in it. But stripping off every encumbrance, easily entangling sin, with endurance let us be running the race that's lying before us, looking away to our face princely leader and perfecter, Yehoshua, who in consideration of the joy laying before him endured a cross, what?
Shame.
Shame.
Despise.
Why won't people, the requirement is you're going to be shamed. People are going to be ashamed of you. And Jesus Christ, who was beaten probably naked on the cross in front of his family, spat on. He could have crushed these people. He could have called down thousands of legions. Mocked. Humiliated. When he went to his hometown, they tried to throw him off a cliff. Why? Because I only say what the Father wants me to say. Yahweh's going to pick fights through you. Well, you do it. You get confirmation. You want to know if it's a good fight? You want to know if it's Yahweh or not? Would you do it? Sometimes it's justification. You want to vent on it. I need to correct them anyways. Time out. That might be your own flesh. But you know, it's Yahweh. When you go back, you go, I don't want to do this. Where did this thought even come from? There it is. Well, you correct people. Jesus Christ corrected. People were ashamed of him. They left him. They dumped him. He's got his disciples here in John 66. And when he says, are you guys going to leave too? And Peter speaks up and says, where will we go? And he goes, did I not pick you? Thank you, Father. He had 12 friends. And did he regret anything after the resurrection? because of joy. You know, it says, this is something new to me, in Galatians chapter 6, 7, it says, Yahweh is not a man that he should be mocked. That what a man sows, you'll reap. If you're sowing in the flesh, you're going to reap the flesh. And I've always looked at that as a negative connotation until recently. Does that not also work if you're sowing in righteousness? Yahweh's not mocked. Did you do what was right? You did? He's not mocked. You're going to reap. Well, I don't even know if I need to reap. Yahweh is not mocked. Did you help somebody and they spat in your face and they rejected you? He's not mocked. Something good, something better's coming your way. He's not mocked with them either. He'll straighten them out just like he's a perfect father. He's not mocked. And he wasn't mocked with his own son. And we don't know what the joy was, and we might not ever get to fully know what the joy was, but we know everything. Christ didn't regret anything, neither will you. Philippians chapter 2, another requirement, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3, page 202. Dad discovered this, pointed out, and here's Jesus Christ, who was the image of Yahweh, and could have been like Adam and Eve, and he could have done things like Adam and Eve did, but what did he do? The end of verse 3, nothing by way of faction, nothing by vain glory. And I was going to do a teaching tonight, and I was like, what should I wear? He goes, grab your black t-shirt. I put it on, I go, I think it's shrink. I shouldn't be wearing a shirt too small if I'm teaching about humility. I think my shirt shrank. This doesn't make sense. Can I change my shirt? Wear it. Oh, well. But exalting yourself, vainglory, but in lowly mind, accounting one another superior. How many people are going to count others superior? Correcting people as a superior. Helping people as a superior. People have been put in my life that I'm sick and tired of them disrespecting and being rude to me. And you know what Yahweh does? Keep that door open. I just got rebuked again by the same person that rebukes me all the time, even though I've helped them and helped them and helped them and helped them. Gave them money and prayed for them and I asked for help. They said they didn't. I didn't pray for you. Forget them. And Yahweh's like, no, you keep that door open. Because that's not what I want to do. I want to say, we need to talk about you being so rude to me. And I was like, you do whatever you want. Keep the door open. What is that?
Humility.
Am I seeing that person as a superior in California? It's not Katie. It's another person that I've helped and helped and helped. And they're so nasty to me. And Yahweh goes, is your life so rough, Aaron? Because they're rude to you? Do you know what my son put up with? Oh yeah, I think I'll just shut up right now. Superior to one another. And these are the requirements. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. It's Nate, verse 34. Just read verse 34 real quick. I have that circle and have a heart and have a treasure box right beside in my Bible. For where your treasure is, there where your heart will be also. How many pastors today have their treasures? Because they're telling the sheep exactly what they want to hear. And the sheep will go, what are they teaching over there? That's what I want. And they have their reward, and we're thankful for every part of the body. But they have their reward. It's up to you and I to go, where's your reward? Where was Jesus Christ? But the verse I wanted to focus on was verse 48. Whereas he who had not come to know and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And everyone to whom was given much, much shall be sought from him. You and I have been called to live as Elohims. We've been given that opportunity. Especially as Christians in our time, with all of us. I don't know any Christian that doesn't have a Bible. I got friends in third world countries, everybody's got a phone. What's your excuse? There's guys in Polynesia, in South America, that live in jungles. They didn't know. What's your excuse? Well, we don't even need a Bible at church. Didn't matter. You're going to be judged, I'm going to be judged. Not for salvation, but what did you do? Well, I just kind of wanted to blend in. You do whatever you want, man. But if you were given the opportunity to raise the dead for Yahweh's sake, and you didn't do it, If you're given the opportunity to cast out demons or whatever it is, here's Samuel. You don't see a whole lot of mighty works with some of the greatest prophets. Samuel, there's not that many mighty works. Jeremiah, and so maybe your calling isn't mighty works. It's to do whatever you're called to do, but living as an Elohim. Is Jeremiah like an Elohim? Are you kidding me? The weeping prophet? Who could do that? It's not a regular man. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Now, I got a word of knowledge the other day, and I it was really specific, and I got to help somebody, and man, I was like dancing. Wow, I had this dream, and I got to do this prophecy for him, and which is good, it's all good, but I should put it in my journal, and to go, that's learning your ABCs, Aaron, compared to Jesus Christ. Let's step this thing up. Let's really step this stuff up. Verse 15, 5:15. Can somebody read that for me?
There is no 15.
There is no 15.
Must be 2 Corinthians, sorry. 2 Corinthians 5:15. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians 15. I'll read it. Having judged this, verse 14, for the love of the Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all died, hence they all died, and in behalf of all died he, in order that they who live, no longer for themselves should live, but for him who in behalf died and awoke. John 14:12 says, these works that I do, you shall also do, and greater works shall you do, because I ascend to my Father. And we're going to be looking at that, and we're going to go before him and say, how far did you get, Aaron? I died for you to live like me. Not just as being loving your neighbor and honoring your parents and giving to people and being generous and not cussing and not voting for the Democrats. It's about walking on the water, rebuking presidents, about doing whatever he's called you to do, like Moses, these other things. Did you do it or you're not going to do it? And each one of us would be like, okay. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, what's going to happen? It's going to be a trumpet. It's all over. Mm-hmm. I like to say, any moment. Pop quiz, start writing, click, over, here we had. That's his life. What'd you do with it? When's Christ coming back? Any moment, any moment, any moment. So we'll get started. John chapter 24, turn to. So I like to think about, one of the things that really inspired the teaching was I was thinking about David throwing a rock at Goliath. I was listening to a word of promise. And then all of a sudden something stirred up inside me. I went, wait a minute. I used to always think that David had a good shot. And he hit him right where there was no helmet or something. Because it said he had a helmet. I thought it said he had a helmet or something. Or he didn't have his helmet. And this rock just is just a good shot. And then he always just gave me a whole other perspective and said, that's how a man would throw a rock. How would Superman throw a rock? Be a lot of velocity, maybe? Mm-hmm. There's a Superman where turns into a bad Superman, starts flicking peanuts. Psh, psh, psh. David didn't see himself as a man anymore. An Elohim kills a lion and kills a bear. An Elohim can kill Goliath. And I believe that David, even when he picked up that rock, he was like, I'm going to throw this with the velocity of a meteor. And it said it sunk right into his head. So when an Elohim throws a rock, it changes everything. I don't think it was just a good shot. I think he killed the lion, killed the bear after he was anointed. And with this one, this rock, it could have went through a helmet when an Elohim throws it. Let me see here. John chapter 21. I said, it's John chapter 21. Oh, some of the things about, I think about Elijah. I think about people that live as Elohim. He said, 1 Kings, if I am a man of Elohim, which means a prophet, let fire come down out of heaven and consume you and your 50. That's like wizards to us. Another cometh. Let fire come down and consume you suckers! And until recently, I didn't know he had his apprentice right next to him. My dad pointed out. I'm like, wow, Elisha was there watching this? Then here comes some more. Elijah's like, holy smokes! It's getting stinky out here, man! Here comes another 50. This king's not getting it. And then the guy falls down on his face and he goes, that's humility. I can work with it. What do you think? And Yahweh says, go on. Okay. Then you think about Samson killing 1,000 with the jawbone of a donkey. I try to write down all my heroes of these things that we could do. Let's see here. Joshua stopped the sun. But in John chapter 21, verse 18, turn there. And this whole thing is at the beginning of it, Peter says, I'm going to go fishing. Everybody else starts following him. He's blending in. Poor Peter. Poor Peter. And Jesus Christ comes and confronts Peter and says, do you love me? Up into this. And confronts him publicly. Will you confront people publicly? Would you? This is going to be humiliating. Would you do that? Okay. Because Yehoshua did. But in verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto you, after he said, I'm fond of you, I'll do it, I love you, I'll do anything, I cut off Malchus's ear for you, he goes, that's not what I'm asking for. You went fishing again. You're supposed to live like an Elohim. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast younger, thou used to gird thyself and to walk whether thou didst choose. But when thou shalt become aged, thou shalt stretch out their hands, and another shall gird thee, and bear thee whether thou dost go. Now he said this, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify Yahweh. And having said this, he said, be following me. Later on, verse 24, after he says all this, verse 22, 21, Peter seeing this one says unto Yehoshua, Lord, and this one what? And Jesus says, if I, you follow, hello, and they fly, you follow me. And he's telling each one of us, he's telling us how to live like an Elohim. Maybe there aren't any mighty works. Maybe it is mighty works. But you do what he's telling you to do. And I bet you Peter felt like he was being picked on. Up at that point, was like on the housetop with Samuel and Saul. You're living like a man. I want you to live like an Elohim. Jesus Christ gave more than anybody except for his Father. He looked just like his Father. Did everything. Nobody is outgiven Yahweh. And you can't outgive him today. No matter what you think, he asks you to give. And here is, here's Peter. Acts chapter 3, is that what it said? In Acts chapter 3, verse 5, here's Peter and John, page 122. Actually, I'll go to verse 4. But Peter, looking steadfast at him with John, said, look on us. He got like a word of knowledge. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, silver and gold have I not. But what I have, the same unto thee do I give. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk. He laid hold of him by his right hand, and he raised up. And instantly were his feet and ankles strengthened. And leaping forward, he stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And if that would have been me, I probably would have fell down weeping if I would have been Peter. I've got to get delivered some prophecies sometimes. And I'm done. I'm just kind of like, I'm melted. That's an Elohim. I wonder how many people are at the gate, your gate, beautiful. They're right around the corner waiting for us to walk out, to separate ourselves, to commune like David did. Where do you want me to go today? What do you want me to do? And then to do those things. And you want to know if you're doing a really good job? You want to know if you're doing a really good job? Jesus Christ is the highest example we have. Who's right underneath Jesus Christ? I think it's going to be the Apostle Paul. Two times, the Apostle Paul. He heals a guy. What do they say? The gods are among us! Yeah. That's a really good sign if people think they think you're an Elohim. That didn't just happen then. And then what did he do? I only do what my Father tells me to do. If that would have been me, and they started sacrificing, I'm like, we'll get to it in a little bit. Let's not ruin the whole moment. It's a really good moment. What did he do? Ah! He rips his clothes and he insults them. That's an Elohim. He didn't bow down to them. But still, this is an Elohim. The gods are among us. And then later on when a snake bites him, he went, rats! I'm supposed to go before Caesar. Into the fire, you viper. And they look at him. He's got 5 minutes. He lived. He's an Elohim. That is our benchmark. People should look and say, you are not a human. What is that thing? Prophecy is the easiest way to get started, and then the rest of these things. Father, I thank you that we can choose to live like you by living like your son, and that each one of us is given a life, and it's going to be over whenever your son comes back. I thank you that we owe you the heart in our chest, the breath in our lungs, the time that we live. There's never been an age where we've had so much access to you. Are we utilizing it to glorify you? And I thank you for helping each one of us fulfill our calling in Christ so that we could be your image, your hands and your feet. And that we be like that guy in a desert island, but instead of being desperate to escape, let us be desperate to be with you. We don't need anybody else in this life. And I thank you for helping us also stick to the basics, honoring our mother and our father, loving our neighbors as ourselves, loving our wives as our own flesh, and vice versa. And as we keep those commandments, all the rest of the things will be taken care of. Do not be fearful, for I call you into on journeys that are perilous. They look impossible. Because that is what gods do. We take our children on adventures that nobody else could go on. Adventures. We write stories that will last for a lifetime, that change lives. That when young children hear what you did, their ears will tingle and they'll get goosebumps, because I'll be inside them testifying that you did these things. So be excited. You get one life to live. Spend it well.
Hallelujah.